Do you really want to know the brutal facts? Now, when faced with the brutal facts of reality, Nehemiah had a few choices. He could have ignored it and pretend that he never heard it. He could have put it on his prayer list and given an empty response and a promise to pray for them. He could have shaken his head and said to himself, well, those people deserve the lot that they're in. They just need to work harder. Similarly, when you and I are faced with the brutal facts of reality, we have the same choices. We can ignore that we ever heard it and continue living life on autopilot. We can say that we're putting the tragedy or situation on our quote-unquote prayer list, but never enter into the pain of actually praying for them. Or we could blame the people for their lack of discipline and work ethic as if we were superior and have it all together. And Nehemiah was different. When he heard these words, he allowed the brutal facts of reality to rock him, break him, wreck him, and disturb him. He internalized his brother's words. He let them soak in. He weighed the ramifications of the city still being in shambles, and as one country preacher friend of mine says, Nehemiah was tore up from the floor up. Nehemiah recorded his unfiltered thoughts this way. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, Nehemiah 1:4. Read those words slowly. Sat down, wept, mourned for many days. Nehemiah, as we'll see in the coming chapters, was not a weak man. It was not customary for him to weep at the drop of a hat. He was an insanely strong leader, a soon-to-be governor, a man with a mission. Yet, we see him broken over the news of his city. He was disturbed over the condition of his people. And little did he know that these deep feelings were the initial birth pains of a vision that people would be reading about for thousands of years later. The point is, Nehemiah's dream didn't begin as a dream. It began as a concern, a burden, a divine disturbance. And let's unpack the events of Nehemiah 1:4 one by one. When I heard these words, he had his ears open for the news. He was actively listening. He was genuinely concerned. When's the last time you actively listened to what someone was saying instead of having your head buried in your smartphone? Maybe the reason why you haven't been disturbed over something is because you haven't taken the time to actually listen to the world around you. Are you open to actually listening to the needs of the world around you, or are you more concerned about checking boxes off your to-do list? Take some time and listen with an active ear. It could change your life and, consequently, change the world. I sat down. This news stopped him in his tracks. It was his 9/11 moment where everything changed. His vacation ended. He was no longer the same. In the blink, nothing changed, but everything changed. He was disturbed. He was broken to the point of inaction. He was divinely paralyzed. Are you willing to pause your busy life and allow the Lord to disturb you? And wept. An emotional uprising had just surged in his soul. He couldn't remain professional. When's the last time you wept over someone else's condition? Can you remember the last time the Holy Spirit rocked you to the core about something or someone? There is something graciously beautiful about snot mixed with a pool of tears in connection to a purpose that's larger than yourself. And mourned for many days. This new reality left him shocked and perplexed for days. His mind was spinning. His world was shaken. It was almost as if someone had kidnapped his only child. He was left in awe. For Nehemiah, his divine dream didn't begin as a dream. It didn't launch out as a great idea. He didn't have a marketing plan, a website, and Twitter followers, and then merely decide to go a certain direction with his life. No. He allowed the brutal facts of reality to disturb him to the point where doing nothing became his unpardonable sin.